حي على الصلاة. حي على الفلاح. حي على الفلاح. الله أكبر الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله.
الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونستنصره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فهو المهتد، ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إلها واحدا أحدا صمدا، لم يتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا، ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. وأشهد أن نبينا وعظيمنا محمدًا عبد الله ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وحبيبه. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. وبعد، يقول جل جلاله في محكم التنزيل: ومن أحسن قولا ممن دعا إلى الله وعمل صالحا وقال إنني من المسلمين. These last 10 months have been by far the most difficult 10 months for us as Muslims, probably since 9/11. In the West and probably elsewhere as well. And for a khatib, I can tell you that these last 10 months have been a real challenge to get on the minbar and talk about anything that I can convince myself that is beneficial to you. As we watch this ongoing river of blood spilling within the Holy Land, as the world holds its tongue and keeps its silence. And I've tried my best to come up with series and to talk about topics that will help us deal with what we are observing and seeing, and hopefully come up with plans, internal and external, that will allow us to be better Muslims and allow us to utilize what it is that we are witnessing in a way that is productive for us as Muslims and as human beings. And I don't know if we have been successful or not, but I do know that on a personal level, it's been very difficult to come up with anything to talk about. And the moment I talk about something that is not directly attached or affiliated with what we are observing, I find it hard to justify inside my heart that to do that. But at the same time, life goes on and we are living in a place where we observe what is occurring, but we don't feel the heat of it. It's not something that is affecting us outside of it, affecting us emotionally. And seeing people suffering is something that you can only deal with silently for so long before it causes real trauma inside your heart, inside your mind. And I want it to be clear, and I want this to be something that everyone understands, that whatever it is that we talk about on these manabir, whatever it is that we push people towards doing in this life, is at the end trying to pour in the same big pot, the pot of this ummah that is weakened by its lack of unity, its lack of commitment to the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the lack of dedication and devotion and activism. But we are trying to fill it up. We're trying to get more people involved and more people to care so that we have something to show for at the end of all of this. Unfortunately, it's not over yet. And it's important also to point out that whether you agree with everything that different Islamic sects and parties do or not, doesn't really matter that much in the big scheme of things. As Muslims, we have been divided into different sects for a very long time. There have been Islamic sects for at least 1,200 years from our 1,400-year history. It's always been a part of our history. It's been a part of our legacy that we have not all seen eye to eye on everything. And you don't need to see eye to eye on everything with everyone around you in order for you to collaborate and work with them. You do this on a daily basis at your job. You live in a country where you're a citizen in a country where most people around you don't agree with you on almost anything at all. So as Muslims, we have to identify what it is that we disagree upon and what it is that we don't disagree upon. And what we don't disagree upon is the importance of centralizing the Palestinian cause for us as Muslims. Not because the Palestinian blood is more important than that of the Sudanese or that of the Bangladesh or that of those from Iraq or Syria or any other part of the Muslim world or world in general. Its centrality for us as Muslims comes from the fact that it's the Holy Land and Masjid al-Aqsa is there. And it is something that unites us whether we like it or not. We all have our personal, cultural, racial, and national struggles. Every person sitting here comes from a country that has its struggles, the struggles that are just, that are correct, that require people to stand by them, but it doesn't unite them. I come from Syria. My country was ripped to shreds. It was completely destroyed. 500,000 people were murdered brutally in ways that if I began to explain to you what it looked like, you wouldn't be able to sleep at night. 7 million people were displaced internally and externally. I don't require the whole world to cry for me or for my country because I understand that every country has its own problems and own struggles. But the Qadiyya of Palestine is central for us as Muslims. And we are lucky, in my opinion, that we have such a cause as Muslims today to unite us. It's not something that always happened historically. Historically, Muslims did not always have a cause that they could use to bring themselves closer to Allah through and to unite around. But we do have that today. And because of that, we have to remind ourselves of the importance of overlooking the differences and working with one another towards elevating and relieving the pain of this cause and moving it forward and advocating for it appropriately. And anyone who dedicates their lives for that, any person, any Muslim, min ahlil qibla, who dedicates their time and their wealth and their life for this cause is someone who we hold in high regards, whether we agree with them ideologically or we don't. And this is important for us as Muslims to understand. Be very careful about this. You be very careful to point fingers and to use terminology that is disrespectful towards Muslim human to your Muslim brothers and sisters whom you don't agree with upon certain aspects of their ideology or the way that they carry themselves Islamically or their opinions politically, or otherwise. They still are Ahl al-Qibla. And if they are standing for the cause, which unfortunately today, see, I didn't grow up in a world where the Palestinian cause was something that you could have a different opinion on. I didn't grow up in that world. I grew up where, and regardless of how much of a traitor you were, no matter how much of a sellout you were, you still agreed that this has to be fixed. What happened in the last 20 years, I don't really know. I think I was out of it for a while, but I wake up to find that this is something that we can afford to actually argue against. People can actually get on a minbar and not see this as a central cause for the Muslim ummah. It is afforded by leaders, political leaders around the world, Muslim political leaders, not to see the Palestinian cause as a central cause for this ummah. And I find that to be nauseating, and I find it to be extreme. It's disgusting. It's completely unacceptable. And if you find someone, and if you're able to see any form of leadership, whether it's religious or otherwise, that continue to carry this cause as a central cause for the ummah, then that is something that you should acknowledge and you should hold in high regards because it's a big deal. Because for some reason, we started to lose it. I didn't think I would live long enough to see a time where that would happen. I understand. I understand that there's a difference, by the way, between someone behind doors not supporting a cause but being forced to publicly support it versus publicly not supporting it. You could argue with me and say, the political leaders for the last 100 years have never supported this cause. Yani, really? I know, but they didn't dare say it. They didn't dare say it. Now they're saying it. Now it's become a part of political jargon. People use it all the time. I don't think... I can't accept that. I don't accept that. I don't accept that. As Muslims, we have causes in our lives that we understand to be sacred. And the cause of the Holy Land is a sacred one. So it always has been. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam's Isra was to there. Umar ibn al-Khattab, the first thing he did was go there and establish justice. And when it was taken back, Salah ad-Din al-Ayyubi and those who came before him, who raised him, who built the generation that brought it back, that's all they focused on for 150 years. And today we are back in the same position. It's been 75 years. Hasn't been as long as it was the first time around or second time around. But it has to continuously be a central cause for us. Not because the other causes don't matter. Not because the blood of someone of another Muslim somewhere else is not as valuable. No, they're all equally valuable. And all of these causes, they require our support and our advocacy. But this cause is different. It's different. This is a cause that unites Muslims, always has. It has always united Muslims. And we must stay united on this cause. And those who stand for it are those whom we stand by. And those who continue to resist, we continue to stand by them, whether we agree with everything they do or we don't. And I really don't understand the world through any other lens. And I've listened to every argument under the sun. And I've spent time with people who believe the opposite argument. And I've listened to them, really listened to them with my ears and my heart to try to understand where they're coming from so I can actually stand up and give a better argument. And no matter how long I listen, it just does not make sense to me. It doesn't make sense to me that at any point in your life, you will stand against the oppressed. There is no scenario that I can put in my mind where I will stand against the oppressed. I will always stand by the oppressed, against the oppressor, regardless of the circumstances and the details that exist within this. And that is what Islam tells us to do. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to do. You stand by the mazloom, always, always. And when the mazloom is not just people, but it's also land that is holy, it is also a sacred masjid, when that is the mazloom, it's not just people, but it's also a space, the sanctity becomes much higher. And it becomes a central cause for us as Muslims, as it is and it should be. So anything I get up here and I talk about that doesn't seem to you connected to that, it is. It is connected. Everything we do is connected towards achieving justice and achieving unity and achieving strength as an ummah. Whether I stand here and I teach you arkan al-wudu, or I get up here and I talk about the importance of sleeping, of good sleeping habits and praying sunnah, or I get up here and I talk about activism or I talk about outreach, all of it, in my opinion, is directed towards the same goal. This Muslim ummah having its awakening. Having its modern awakening. This happened throughout history. There's a cycle to history that if you look at, you can't miss. The Muslims' history is not different than human history. It's always been cyclical. There have been times where people fell asleep and then they had an awakening. And they woke up again and they took back what was theirs and they're rightfully theirs. And then they established something that had justice in it for a certain period of time. And then they got too distracted by wealth and then they forgot again. And then the cycle happened again. And this is not the first time. This is not the first cycle that we've been through as Muslims, fourth or fifth maybe even more. But just like awakenings happened before, they will happen again. But they require a specific generation of people. They require a certain mindset of human beings. They require those who understand the importance of where they lie historically. I know that we all want to be a part of the history where the graph is peaking. We want to be a part of the Muslim ummah when the graph is on top. That's what we want to be. We all want to be a part of that. To witness the celebrations, to witness the victory, to witness the success and the unity and the strength. That's not what he was a part of, alayhi salatu wasalam. If you want to be like him, alayhi salatu wasalam, he didn't get that. He didn't live long enough to see that, to be a part of victory, of success, of unity, of spreading of this da'wah. He didn't. He passed away before that happened. It happened 15 years later during the time of Umar al-Khattab and Uthman. That's when it actually occurred. That's when the establishment of the Khilafah actually became something that the whole world had to acknowledge and revere. It didn't happen during his time, alayhi salatu wasalam. He lived during a part of history that is darker than the one we're living in right now. So if you think this is a dark time, and you don't like it because you didn't want to grow up in a time like this, where Islam was not prevalent, where it wasn't cool to be Muslim, where you didn't have support walking around looking Muslim with your hijab on. It didn't, it's okay. That was his time, alayhi salatu wasalam. You're more similar to him in that way than the Muslims at the top of the world were. Because when Muslims actually had strength, that wasn't like how it was for him, alayhi salatu wasalam. So to follow him was more difficult. For us to follow him is easier, because this is where the graph dips. This is where it's dipping to the lowest point that it, inshallah, will have. Inshallah, from this point, from this moment forward, it's going up. But it's low. He lived during a time, alayhi salatu wasalam, where there was no tawheed at all. You all say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. He was at a time where he was the only person saying it. And he had to build it brick by brick. One person, by a second person, Khadija, by Abu Bakr, and Ali, and Zayd, one by one. He had to sit down and talk to them one by one and build this ummah one brick at a time, alayhi salatu wasalam. You think that's easy? You think that there's more hope then than there is now with the 2 billion Muslims? Yes, we are ruled by dictators. Yes, we have no political unity. Yes, we don't have proper representation. Yes, there's a lot of distraction, but we are still Muslim. And we still say La ilaha illallah. And the majority of us still believe in the centrality of the causes that are just like the cause of Palestine and others. That's a big deal. It's a big deal. He didn't have that, alayhi salatu wasalam. He didn't have the luxury of knowing that. He had 60 people at tops for the first 4 or 5 years, 60, 70 people. He lived during a dark time, and he rose, alayhi salatu wasalam, as those with him rose, to the occasion and to glory, through their dedication and their devotion, and their lack of being distracted by anything aside from the causes that they lived for. And I feel it's not that hard for us to do the same. I really don't. And I don't think there's a secret ingredient that's missing. I think it's just something that exists inside the hearts and the souls of the people of this ummah. Something has to click on the inside. We wait. We wait with patience and perseverance. We wait for that to click. And if it doesn't click for this generation, then we turn to the next one and we try to make it click there. And we keep on trying until we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, trying our best to get it to click, where people are going to live their lives in a way where everything they're doing is focused, is directed towards La ilaha illallah and what that entails and what it entails in your life. And when that happens, when enough Muslims do that, when enough Muslims do it, when the percentage is high enough, you'll see change. It took him 23 years, alayhi salatu wasalam, to do that. And he is Rasulullah, alayhi salatu wasalam. If it took us 50, it's no big deal. If it takes us 100 or 150, it's not a problem. We don't have the tools that he had, alayhi salatu wasalam, because our hearts are not like his heart, alayhi salatu wasalam. But the concept is still the same. Which is why I want to talk about the concept of outreach for this throughout this month. August is the month that I've dedicated in our center as the month of outreach, the month of da'wah, where we call people back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You should be doing it all the time, right? This is not... We're not dedicating 1 month so the rest of the year we can go ahead and ignore it. No, I just want to make this month centralized there so that we can actually focus on it, so that we have some tools, so that we continue doing it later on. You are required as a Muslim, this is what I'm requiring you to do. So Allah commands you, you listen, I command you, you can listen or you don't listen, doesn't make a difference. I am not worth anything to you. But this is what I am requiring you and commanding you to do. That throughout this month, you bring at least one person to a masjid, people who don't usually go there. Outreach, before we do it to those who don't know Allah, we should start with those who do. Before you go to those who don't know who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is at all, you start with those who are at arm's length of you who do. Just don't come to masajid, never were comfortable, didn't grow up that way. Don't feel like this is a place that means anything to them. You take time, you figure out a way, and you get them into a masjid, and you make them comfortable, and you make sure that they attend something that they feel is meaningful to them, so they can continue to be a part of their central community. Whether this masjid or another one, you're required to bring at least one person from those who you know. So you don't have to look very far, because every person sitting in this room has friends who don't come to masajid, have family members who don't come to masajid. Find a way. Find a way and call people back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Focus throughout the whole month. Try to get one person. Sometimes it'll take a full month and you still won't do it. And sometimes you'll start with one person, it won't work out. إِنَّكَ لَا تَهَدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتُ. You can't guide those whom you love. Maybe Allah does not want to offer them guidance at this moment, so you move on to someone else. But this is to remind you and me that this is our obligation as Muslims. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided you, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has offered you this gem, this gift of guidance, this absolute golden piece, which is guidance, if Allah gave this to you, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was so generous that He put in your heart His love, some way or one way or the other, that somehow you understand the importance of being close to Allah, if you have that realization in your life, may I tell you that many people in this world, if not the majority of them, don't. They don't know that. They don't understand the beauty of knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reading His book of knowing His beloved Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, or practicing this beautiful law that we have. It is our obligation to bring this as close as possible to everyone around us. And I'm asking you to start with the easier task. Start with those who already have that inside them. They're just a little bit lost, a little bit distracted, a little bit taken away, haven't really found their footing, and then bring them back. And if you don't feel that's your obligation, then I don't think you understand what this story is about. If you're saying to yourself, no, I can barely take care of myself, true, I feel the same way. We can barely take care of ourselves. The way you take care of yourself is by taking care of others. The way you take care of yourself Islamically, the way that you take care of yourself spiritually, the way you stay committed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is by helping others, is by going out and trying to offer this guidance to someone else. Take the barakah that Allah gave you, give it to others, the barakah goes up. It's the opposite of wealth. The more wealth you give, the less wealth you have. This, the more you give of it, the more it grows. The more you have of it, the more guidance you have, the more you give. This is our obligation. We are obligated by Allah to do this. And if we don't, then we have not fulfilled the legacy of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. What is the job of the prophets? What did the prophets do? Who are they? Who are the anbiya? Why? Adam and Idris and Nuh alayhi salam. Who is Musa and Isa and Muhammad and Yahya and Zakariya and Shu'aib and Hud and Salih? Who are these people? They are the people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dedicated to this one task of spreading this guidance and this message. He passed away, alayhi salatu wasalam. Who is dedicated in his place? Tell me. Every time a prophet passed away, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would send another one. Sometimes two at the same time, sometimes three at the same time. After he passed away, alayhi salatu wasalam, who's supposed to do this? On whose responsibility is this? Who? Me? I didn't receive a memo. I didn't receive a memo. If it was me, I missed the email. No one told me that it was me. I asked the other shuykh if they received something. They didn't receive anything either. Who's responsible for this? Each and every one of you is responsible for it as much as I am, in different ways. My job is to keep it running inside. Your job is to bring them from the outside. And then that's how we grow our ummah back again. And that's how we bring back people to Allah. And we make sure they understand their causes, understand their ethics, understand the way of life and the legacy He left, alayhi salatu wasalam, so this ummah can continue to survive, so that 75 years from now, we don't have to have an imam stand up here and say the same stuff and talk about the same causes that have been failing. We won't need it, because we've done our job. He says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا. Who's better spoken than the person, مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ, those who call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا, and they behave appropriately. Why are you saying أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا and then عَمِلَ صَالِحًا? He's saying, who's better spoken than someone who calls to Allah and then وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا? It doesn't seem to fit. It fits because the best form of da'wah is which is practical. There are different types of da'wah. There is the verbal and then there is the practical. What you see right now is the verbal. It's maybe 2% of da'wah. It's not that impactful, by the way. It's not that impactful. It's not that impressive. It doesn't take that much and it's not that helpful. It's the practical that does more. It's the practical when you perform da'wah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through your ethics, through the way that you live your life, through the choices that you make, through the minimalistic lifestyle that you carry, through the dedication and devotion that you show those around you. That is how you get people back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, including the verbal. Of course you're going to speak. Of course someone's going to ask, or you're going to see something or say something. But it's the verb, the practical, that does way more. At least it did more for him, alayhi salatu wasalam. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه يغفر لكم يا فوز المستغفرين استغفر الله. الحمد لله وحده وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على من لا نبي بعده وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اتبع نهجه ووفى عهده. إخواني وأخواتي، ليس من مقام في الدين أعظم من الدعوة إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى، فهذا مقام الأنبياء والمرسلين. اصطفاهم ربهم سبحانه وتعالى ليدعوا إليه، وهذا قل هذه سبيلي أدعو إلى الله على بصيرة. فمقام الأنبياء مقام الدعوة إلى الله. ولما قبض ربنا حبيبه صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم والتحق بالرفيق الأعلى، لم يرسل من بعده نبيا ليحمل هذا الهم، بل جعل هذا الهم موزعا بين أتباعه عليه الصلاة والسلام من الصحابة. فلما انتقلوا إلى رحمته تعالى، لما انتقلوا إليه جل جلاله، جعل الهم في أتباعهم، فلما انتقل أتباعهم جعل الهم في أتباع أتباعهم، وهكذا إلى يوم القيامة. فما منا من أحد يختص عند الله بهم الدعوة إليه، بل كل منكم عليه أن يدعو إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى ما استطاع إلى ذلك سبيلا، بما عنده من مقومات وبما عنده من علم. ولا يحتاج في الدعوة إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى سوى معرفة بسيطة في التوحيد وخلق عال. فأبو بكر دعا إلى الله وهو لا يعلم من الدين إلا التوحيد، وكذا غيره من أصحابه عليه الصلاة والسلام دعوا إلى الله وأتوا بالناس إلى ربهم، ولم يكونوا يحفظون من كتاب الله سبحانه وتعالى حرفا واحدا، ولم يعلموا إلا لا إله إلا الله، ولكن كانت أخلاقهم أخلاق الرجال، وكانت شيمهم شيم المروءة. فلما كانوا على ذلك الحال أتى الناس إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى تباعا. يرى الإمام أحمد في مسنده في زوائد الزهد عن شميط بن عجلان قال: إن الله أوحى إلى داود فقال: يا داود، إن استنقذت هالكا من هلكته سميتك جهبذا، إن استنقذت حيرانا من حيرته سيرت لك السحاب كما تشاء. أن تستنقذ إنسانا من النار، أن تستنقذ إنسانا من الضلال ومن الضياع ومن الهلكة، وتأتي بهم إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى، أي فعل أعظم من ذلك؟ وأي مقام هو أجل من هذا؟ لا يا أخواني، ما في. وأني أدعوكم في هذا الشهر أن يأتي كل منكم بإنسان لا يأتي إلى المساجد إلى المساجد، أن تأتوا بهم إلى بيوت الله، وأن تحببوهم في بيوت الله. فهذه الأمة لن تنهض ولن تصحو ولن تقوم إلا بجهد المسلمين، إلا بجهود المسلمين في رد المسلمين إلى الله، في رد المسلمين إلى الله. إذا أردنا أن نرى مستقبلا خيرا من هذا الحاضر البائس الذي نعيشه، فعلى هذه الأمة أن تصحو وأن توقظ إخوانها، وأن توقظ المسلمين من غفلاتهم ومن نومهم ومن حسراتهم. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يهدينا أجمعين. Brothers and sisters, I end this khutbah with this simple point for you to contemplate. This ummah will not find its salvation, I guarantee it to you. It will not find its salvation or its success or its prosperity if the people within it don't feel the importance of saving their brothers and sisters within it. If I, as a Muslim today, don't feel the need to reach out to my Muslim brothers and sisters who are a little bit lost, who don't know exactly where they're going in life, or a little bit distracted, if I don't feel inside my heart that saving them is a part of saving this ummah, then we're not walking the proper path. It's not clear to me. If I can afford to see this ummah as only those who are committed and the rest of them are munafiqeen who I don't care about, and I'm going to go ahead and move forward with that, then I have not learned what this ummah is about. Not only do I need to have in my heart the will and the need and the desire to help Muslims who are distracted, I have to have in my heart the desire to help those who don't know Allah altogether. All of them are his ummah, alayhi salatu wasalam. The ummah of a prophet are the people the prophet was sent to teach. A nation of a prophet, what's the definition? The nation of a prophet are the people the prophet was sent to teach. So Banu Israel are the nation of Musa and the nation of Isa and Yahya and Zakaria. And Midian was the nation of Shu'aib, and Ad was the nation of Hud, and Thamud was the nation of Salih. Who is the nation of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Who is the nation of the Rasulullah? Al-alamin. It's all of humanity. That's his ummah alayhi salatu. Amongst them, those who responded, and amongst them, those who didn't. If you are lucky enough, if you are fortunate enough to be amongst those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted the gift of response, He gave you the, here's guidance to you, then you have to dedicate whatever is left of your life to make sure that you spread this gift to everyone you possibly can in your life. Whether it's whether they are related to you or they are not, whether they are Muslim or they are not, start with those who are at arm length. Start with those who are at arm's length of you, the ones that you know. That if a little bit of putting yourself out there, a little bit, maybe being a bit vulnerable, maybe just taking a stand that you don't necessarily want to take because you don't want to come off as someone who's now, fanatic or religious, and suddenly you're a better person. You have to be willing to go through that. You have to be willing to sit there and say, yeah, I sucked before. I wasn't a good guy before. I found Allah. I would love you to come and join me and put up with the mockery and put up with the laughs and put up. You have to. Let me tell you, this is I went through this a bit younger in my life when I decided that I was going to be a little bit different. I remember walking towards the masjid wearing something, and a guy on a tractor would come by and he would mock me every time on the way there and the way back. A bunch of shabab, sayyin, a bunch of guys who had nothing better to do. So they would drive by me on their tractor when I was going to the masjid and call out a few fun names, and then on the way back do the same thing. Every single day. This went on for months upon months because I wasn't like that before. Because in my early teens, I wasn't focused. And when I focused, I got this from all my friends. It was only, I didn't say a word. I told my sheikh, this is happening. What do I do? Do I call something back? I said, no, don't call anything. Don't say a word. Act like it's not there. Focus on what you're doing. So I did. 5 years later, these same guys came to the masjid and started learning. And one of them who was on the tractor, the guy who was drawing the tractor, he came and said, you know what, sheikh, I want to say something. There was a time where I used to kind of say things to you. I used to drive by you and say stuff. And I said, yeah, I remember. You used to be. It's like, you remember? Yeah, it was you. You used to sit on the remember this, and he described for him what it looked like. And he got very embarrassed. I thought that you didn't notice, so you didn't recognize. No, I remembered. I know exactly what you used to do. Well, how did you keep us here? Well, that's what the sheikh told me. He told me that's how you do it. He told me that it's not your job to judge people. You don't have to defend anything. It's okay if people mock you for turning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's just the way, it's just Allah's way to see if you're serious about it. He just said, do you really love this? All right, I'm going to send a few people to make fun of you and see if you have a thick skin and if you care enough to stay with this, even though people are going to call you names. And if you stick to it long enough, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you the ability to help other people. But you have to be willing to go out on a limb and say something. You can't afford to say, I'm a Muslim, good Muslim, I'm quiet. No, a good Muslim is not quiet. A good Muslim is always nudging people along. He's always making things available. Always trying to pull someone from their hand. Ta'al ma'ay, let's pray. Let's do something fi khair. Maybe offering some advice, being there at their service, trying to offer something, even if people start making fun of them. Even if they become the laughing stock of some of their friends because they only a year ago were in a completely different way. That's all right. That's all right. How do you think tawbah happens? What is tawbah? Aside from being on the wrong path and then finding the right one. If every time someone was on the wrong path, found the right one, we mocked them, then no one would perform tawbah, and there would be no hope for anybody. And that's what I want you to take for the remainder of this month. Focus on that. Try to work on that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us guidance. Because this is for us. By the way, you do this, you help people find guidance, you do this for you. You do this for you. Don't kid yourself. You do this for you. You do this so that your guidance stays strong, so that your guidance increases. You call people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to tell, Ya Rabb, I'm calling them to you. Don't send me astray. Ya Rabb, dakhilak. Ya Rabb, I'm calling them to you. Don't let me be sent astray at the end of my life. Don't let my nafs beat me. Don't let my desires take control of me. Ya Rabb, I'm going to call people to you, even though I know I am not worthy, even though I know I am not practicing appropriately, even though I know that I am at fault, but I'm doing it because I love you, even though I don't show it well. I'm doing it because I know your love is the truth. So I want them to experience it. And even if I'm at fault, Ya Rabb, you'll forgive me, inshallah, and you'll keep me guided. And that's the only way to do this. And if you think anyone is doing it any other way, then you're fooled. If you think anyone is doing it any other way, you're fooled. We're all doing it that way. We're all just as lost as the other person. We all are trying to figure it out. The best way to stay committed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to be surround yourself by people who are and call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He'll keep you. He'll keep you amongst His group. And that's will be the focus of the khutbahs for the next month or so. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the benefit of being guided and grant us the ability to offer guidance to others. وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَنَا بِأَمْرٍ عَظِيمٍ فَقَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا اللَّهُمَّ صَلِّ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِ مُحَمَّدٍ كَمَا صَلَّيْتَ عَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَعَلَى آلِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَبَارِكْ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِ مُحَمَّدٍ كَمَا بَارَكْتَ عَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَعَلَى آلِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ فِي الْعَالَمِينَ إِنَّكَ حَمِيدٌ مَجِيدٌ وَارْضَ اللَّهُمَّ عَنِ الْأَرْبَعَةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ السَّادَةِ الْحُنَفَاءِ أَبِي بَكْرٍ وَعُمَرَ وَعُثْمَانَ وَعَلِيٍّ وَارْضَ اللَّهُمَّ عَنْ أَزْوَاجِهِ أُمَّهَاتِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَعَنْ آلِهِ الطَّيِّبِينَ الطاهرين وعن صحابته الغر الميامين وعن التابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وعنا معهم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات. اللهم فرج هموم المهمومين ونفس كروب المكروبين وارفع الغم عن المغمومين وارفع الظلم عن المظلومين واحقن دماءنا ودماء المسلمين. اللهم احقن دماء إخواننا المستضعفين في فلسطين والسودان وفي كل مكان يا رب العالمين. اللهم أخرج الصهاينة من أرض فلسطين ورد المسجد الأقصى إلى رحاب المسلمين وارزقنا أجمعين فيه صلاة قبل الممات يا رب العالمين. اللهم إن إخواننا جياع فأطعمهم وحفاة فاحملهم وعراة فاكسهم ومظلومون فانتصر لهم. اللهم تقبل شهداءهم وارحم موتانا وموتاهم يا رب العالمين. وما ذلك عليك اللهم بعزيز ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. أقم الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. حي على الصلاة، حي على الفلاح. قد قامت الصلاة، قد قامت الصلاة. الله أكبر الله أكبر. لا إله إلا